Well, let us praise your great name. At 6:30 this afternoon, when the Lord changed the message, what he spoke to me is, there are people that don't understand what he's doing. I get that. And it's easy to judge what's happening from a place of misunderstanding. And I don't want that. I don't want people to misunderstand what God's doing. And so I felt like he gave me a condensation, a way to condense what's going on, to take that word, that truth, and bring it into a condensed version. And God never built a temple without a prophet. Never built a temple without a prophet. And he's not going to build a temple now. We're the temple of God. And if we think that he's going to build his temple without a prophet, you can do anything you want. You can come, you can go, you can stay. But God always used a prophet to set the house in order. So I want to read a few scriptures quickly. I'm going to go back to Genesis, to chapter 12 of Genesis. And I want to read the 8th verse. And we can start with 6 through 8. And Abram passed through the land under the place of Shechem, under the plain of Moriah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And from thence he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord, and Abram journeyed, going still toward the south. So I want you to go with me to Genesis 20, because Abraham was a prophet, yeah? And so his relationship with God, he built two altars. Three altars, actually, but these two that we read about, he built an altar at Shechem. And the spirit and presence of God was talking about this man having a temple relationship with God. So that because he was a representative of the kingdom, both of faith and of the law, he has this New Testament covenant relationship that where he goes, he has fellowship with God, yeah? He's a prophet of God. But he's building these altars because where he's at, he is sacrificing to God. And that's what his life was built on. I'm going to serve God. And there was no place to particularly worship, but everywhere Abraham stopped, he worshiped. And this last place that he worshiped was called Bethel, which means the house of God. And so the spirit and presence of God shows us that from the very beginning, and I want to read here in Genesis 20, And I want to start with verse 7. Well, actually, we'll just read verse 7. Now, therefore, and of course, we know that Abram and Abimelech have had a change of plans. Abraham says that Sarah was his sister, and this caused him to lose her. Yeah, God was talking about him staying where God put him. And verse 7 says, now therefore, he's talking to Abimelech, God's talking to Abimelech, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. So, the very beginning of the Word of God, God uses prophets to establish his temple. I believe we're in an hour that God is bringing a unity around the world, to his people, from revelation knowledge. Yeah. And what that constitutes is the temple. I believe he's been doing it in every generation. I don't think this is new. But I do believe that God is bringing this work where there's a unity because he is wanting the world to see him, yeah, and we're his temple. So we're not fragmented. God's people aren't fragmented. Where truth is, there's no fragmentation. And all over the world, there's people that walk in truth. But God's going to bring us into a temple, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, because that's his promise to man. But we are the temple of God. And it affords people an opportunity to encounter God, yes? And the need is for us to understand there's a unity about it, because the unity, you can't have a building. When Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed Jerusalem, one thing he did was burn Jerusalem and scattered all the stones along the walls all over the place and the temple. He took all the stones down that were in the temple because he wanted the world to see, look, I've torn this place down. This was the temple of God. I've torn it down. Now, you guys, we understand that that's what the enemy's tried to do with all of his doctrine stuff. Yeah? Tear the temple down. So I want to read these really quick because we know that Moses built the tabernacle of God next. Yeah? And so I want to go to Exodus chapter 7. And I want to read, beginning with verse 1. Thank you very much. Exodus 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I've made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now Moses is about to build a tabernacle, yes? Do you think this offends God that God told him that? You're going to be God to your brother. I'm going to talk to you. Yes? Yes? And he's going to be your prophet. He's going to talk to Pharaoh. We get goosey just listening to that. It's like, Moses wrote it down, yeah? So he wasn't afraid to tell you and me what God said to him. But you see, what God's talking about is that God deals with people, and what God said is, I deal with Moses. He will see my similitude. This man, he said, I talk to prophets, but this man I talk to face to face. This man I talk to, him and I talk. We talk. And that's what God wanted to have established, is that he's creating this ministry for the edification of the body of Christ. Yeah? So, when I was a kid, nobody ever said they were going to come and have a prophets meeting in Denver. In fact, that was the response I had the first time I heard somebody saying that they were a prophet. Can I be honest with you? Yeah. First time I heard somebody say that they were a prophet, it's like, yeah. And actually, they weren't. Because it's interesting, the people that say they are, typically aren't. Yeah? So if you use it for authority or to be one-upmanship, it's like, well, I'm a prophet. It's like, well, Here's what we know about God. If you're a prophet of God, you don't need to tell anybody because God just does what he does. Yeah? But then what we saw is that men went from calling themselves prophets, so they'd have big meetings and they'd have these big banners up, prophets, so-and-so, prophets, so-and-so. It's been a tragedy to the body of Christ. But God's raising up ministries that are doing the things he said to do. And on the earth, God's going to do, Jesus Christ is going to do what he wants done on the earth, whether we like the way he does it or not. Yeah? So, he said, listen, I'm going to tell you that, because Moses kept telling God, God, I don't want to talk. I can't talk. I'm slow of speech. You know that. And then he made God angry. He just kept arguing with God. This man who loves God, this man who God chose and picked, made God angry because he was arguing with him. He said, okay. He said, isn't your brother Aaron a Levite? How would he say that? Because nobody's talked about Levites yet, have they? I mean, there are Bible scholars here. Moses is just coming out of the wilderness, coming back, and God said, well, isn't your brother a Levite? From the tribe of Levi, yeah? So what is that? He's of the tribe of Levi. So am I. Yeah. So, but you see, God knew that he would establish ministry, and that's what the law was going to do. Here's a place that there's a sanctity of the people I've chosen. Does that mean that all the Levites did what was right? No. No, you can hire them. Yeah, before we got done with that. So God said, no, look, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and talk to Pharaoh, but I'm going to build a temple out in the wilderness. And I'm going to give you the picture of that tabernacle. And you're going to build it. You're going to have it built exactly as I show it. The pattern is going to be perfect. I'm going to give you the pattern, yeah? So you guys, that's what I want. I want the pattern. I want to see what God wants to do to you. I want to see what God's doing to me. I'm not the potter. I don't potter your lives. If I have something that I have to tell you that's rough, it's because I feel like you're about to do something that you're going to encounter something rougher. There's rough and there's rougher, yeah? And so I just want you to know that that's part of why the Spirit and presence of God does what he does with the ministry. So I want to go to Deuteronomy real quick, 34:10. This is... Numbers, Deuteronomy 34:10. Thank you, Jesus. So, and so, la. 8th verse. And the children of Israel, 34, let's go to 8. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as God, as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Now listen, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all of his servants, and to all his land. And in all that mighty hand, and in the great terror which Moses showed in the sign of Israel. So, God says, listen, this man has wisdom. You know why? Because I use this person who I have ordained to do particular things, to lead my people. And I used him to bless this man, to lay hands on him. And you guys, so you realize, okay, so that's what God's done. And he's done it to me. God's done that very same thing to me. And the Spirit of God wants to do it in all of our lives. Because when God speaks to you, because the other night we read that these manifestations of the Spirit are for our benefit, right? They bring us to a place that are a blessing from God. So you and I want the things that are manifestations of God. And one of the things that's a manifestation of God is him talking to his people. So I want to go to 1 Samuel, because you know these verses. These are precious verses. That's how you could get a message at 6:25, 35. So 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm just lifting my glasses because I'm going to cough and I didn't want to. Cough up the, yeah. You were looking to see, huh, what you could do. Because you wouldn't. See, Rachel knows that when I've got these glasses on, they're just kind of a blur. I love you all. But it's great because if you've got a face that's looking like, I don't believe what you're saying. I don't know you're thinking that. See? So I'm just happy. I'm behind the glasses. I'm having a happy time. And that's it's a blessing to me. So 1 Samuel 3, and I'm going to go down to verse 18. And Samuel told, of course, he's been informed by God in the night a word about Eli and his sons dying. And it's a difficult thing to him because he would love that man. So the work that God has us do, it's not an easy work, but this kid has been picked by God to replace all the stuff that's going on that's wrong. So he's not picked to be a priest, he's picked to be a prophet, yeah? And he's going to have an influence on the nation because he's going to actually anoint the first king and the second king, yeah? That's a dangerous job. Okay, so I'm going to start at verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit, hid nothing from him. And he said, and of course Eli said, it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And Shiloh is where the tabernacle was, yeah? That little tent that they brought out of the wilderness, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. It was at Shiloh. So it's interesting that everywhere we find this tabernacle established and light being brought in, there's a prophet that's doing the work that needs to be done. So it doesn't matter how much you've got a priesthood, you have to have someone who sees, because they were called seers in the beginning, right? So this is a person that could see what was going on. And you guys, that's what we want. We want the Spirit and presence of God to give to us that understanding about what's going on. I remember when David Terrell came to Denver and he prophesied for three straight hours, first meeting Isaiah. And hundreds of people got up and walked out. They just got up and walked out. He prophesied about earthquakes, named the cities. He named the one Mexico City that happened. He named the one in Guatemala City that happened. And he went down to Honduras, actually tried to get into Guatemala, 72 hours or a week or so before that big earthquake came to Guatemala City. And I was following the minister. So I understood he prophesied. And he went down to Nicaragua, or to Guatemala, they wouldn't let him in, because they said that he was scaring the people. So he went to La Entrada in Honduras, on the border with Guatemala, and set up a meeting and told all the people up to talk to all the pastors and bring them down to the meeting. And he told them, 72 hours from today, from right now. Everything you love, every person you love, get out of that city. So it wasn't a random city. Wasn't a random thing. It was an earthquake. And you know when the earthquake happened? 72 hours later. Now, you see, a man can't do that. That's not something a man can do. But God did it. And what Guatemala's government didn't like was that a man could come into their country and warn people that there's going to be a massive earthquake. Why would you care? Because what happened is that thousands of people were killed. And that's just a matter of history, but you guys, the thing that came out of that, there was a lot of orphans. And for years, there were children 6 years old that were taking care of three-year-olds. There were children 9 years old that were taking care of 8- and 5-year-olds. Yeah? So these kids were raised by a generation of kids. Guatemala has a real problem with that age group. It's not disciplined. It's not influenced by anything that raised it with a moral fiber. It grew up on the streets. It grew up living hand to mouth, and it grew up tough. See, I think that the government of Guatemala should have said, hey, look, you guys, listen, we got an alarm went off. Let's, and because he prophesied other stuff, but these guys know. They could have said, look, why don't we just make this guy happy? I mean, he's talking about an earthquake that's going to devastate Guatemala City. Guatemala City is in the mountains. And so the houses are built up the side of the mountains. And when you're driving through the city, you cannot figure out, because they look like they're all stuck together, you can't figure out how you would get to the house 1,000 feet below the top of the thing. You can't imagine. It's like, how would you get to that place? Because you don't see roads. It doesn't look like there's a networking of roads. So people travel up and down, and it's just webbed with houses. And so, you guys, that's when I went through there. So I can tell you that if you had a city like that, built on hills like that, mountains like that, and somebody said, and they had earthquakes there. Antigua, Guatemala was destroyed by an earthquake. So it isn't like they're foreign to this stuff. But wouldn't you say, wait a minute, this guy's a man of God. Why don't we just move men, women, and children out of the city? Look, he says 72 hours. Let's go out, wait 82 hours. And then you can come back. Ha, ha, ha. If it didn't work, then no big deal. Besides that, then we'll prove he's wrong. We say he's wrong. No, but let's prove he's wrong after it. instead of digging bodies out of the bottom of the thing. Because people don't like what God does when He does stuff supernaturally. But that's the kind of God we serve. I want God to do that in my life. I want God to bring these things to pass in you and me. Because God knows what tomorrow. The things that are going on, He's not ignorant to. He knows the stuff that's going to happen. Like Michael having those dreams down there in Georgia, that the people from Macon were going to come up to the meeting in Noonan, or up at Franklin. So you guys, how would you know a whole week in advance who's going to come to your revival? That's pretty nice, especially if they come to create turmoil. Wouldn't you want that in your life? Yes, you do. And that's why we want the Spirit of God to show us, look, this happens. This is real stuff. All right. So, I know that there are people in this place that God wants to use in establishing His Word in people's lives. I believe all of you are that. I honestly believe that there isn't anybody that God's brought here that He would not bring you to the place that you could do that in your life. And so the thing is, what I want you to understand is that what God is purposing now is He wants to bring His people into a unity around nothing but truth. So, and by that, He's going to use the gifts to edify the body. Yeah? And Paul said, seek the best gifts. So you may think that miracles is the greatest gift. Someone else might think that faith is the best gift. I think all nine are the best gifts. But the thing I know is that it edifies the body of Christ. You want that and I want that. But you guys, prophecy is one thing, but the word of a prophet is another. In Corinthians, Paul said, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. That's that gift of prophecy. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away with. So, I want to go to, did I tell you 1 Samuel 7 yet? No. Okay, so I got 1 Samuel 7, and I want to begin with verse 11. And I don't want to whip the horse till it dies. I just want to read these verses because, you guys, if there's a turmoil about God doing what He does, I want to just start with Abraham and come down through. This is like Stephen when he was being stoned. He knows that the crowd is not understanding what he's saying and they're not all with it, yeah? So this isn't about 99% of us. This is God just talking because there are people that are honestly in a turmoil. And I regret that. Because I believe that they would be part of the building of the temple of God. And if I preclude the prophetic ministry from what God would have in my life, if I will not let Him talk, if I deny that it's Him, whatever reason I would deny Him that He would have that, then I'm not going to build in the temple. I can do whatever I want to do. It will not prosper into the building of the temple of God. And that is around truth, and that's what He's doing now. And that's why I feel like God changed the message this afternoon at 6:28 or 6:35. Because I believe every one of us, all 100% of us, want to have God use us to the fullest extent of what He wants to do. And if I don't believe that I'm building, putting together the temple of God, like Ezra and Nehemiah, I believe those men put together the things that Ezra went up there to build that tabernacle. Nehemiah went up there to build the wall. God wants the things done the way He wants it done. And it takes the Spirit of God to get these things finished, yeah? And so, and they needed a prophet. I'm going to read this. So, I told you 7, yeah? And 11. So this is what he said. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. So God brings a prophet, and He establishes a place. All He does, all this man does is takes a stone and sets it between two places. But he's a prophet of God. And he establishes something that doesn't get changed. I want that in my life. I want it in my life. You want it in your life. And the Spirit of God does those things. Okay, now, I want you to go with me to 2 Samuel 7. And I want to start with, again, verse 11. These are easy to remember. So, 2 Samuel 7. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord telleth thee, David wants to make God a tabernacle. So we all want to work in the work of building the tabernacle. David did. He wanted to build God a house, yeah? See, men think they can just build the house of God. We build all kinds of buildings. Listen, those are not the house of God. We know that, yeah? And then and pastors will tell you that. This isn't the house of God. You're the house of God. But when they're taking up offerings for the house, it's sort of like this is God's house. So what he tells us here is the prophet is talking to David, yeah? And I have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also the Lord telleth you that he will make you a house. Okay? And when your days be fulfilled, and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Yes? He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from thee. So he's talking about building this house. And a prophet has come to proclaim it. You're not going to build the house unless a prophet comes to tell you what's going on. Because Nathan came and told David the day before, David, you want to build God a house? Build him a house. Yeah? Then the prophet comes back and he says, well, actually, you're not going to build him a house. You're a man of blood. And God's telling you, he's going to build your house. So stay where your level is. Whoa. David was a prophet, priest, and king, yeah? But this prophet tells him, you do what God tells you to do. You stay in the pattern exactly where God puts you, yes? That's what heart you and I want. I want to listen for the things of God because we want to be at the right place at the right time. So I want to go to 1 Kings 13, the unnamed prophet, and listen, all of us know the story. We can go over there, 1 Kings 13, but this unnamed prophet comes to Bethel. And there's a Jeroboam set up two altars of falsehood, yes? Golden calves. Right? Jeroboam set up two golden calves, one at Bethel and one at Dan. And he said, these be thy gods, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So now here comes a prophet, because he comes to Bethel, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judea by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And these guys, when God brought this to pass, Josiah didn't even know that was prophesied. The Bible talks about it like Josiah didn't know. But you see, everything he said was about, let's cleanse the house. Let's get this thing straightened out. And God went against governmental authority with prophets. No king could override a prophet. Yes? And that's because the prophet was under the voice of God. You guys, that's why false prophets are such a treachery. Because when someone prophesies, and prophecies can be wrong prophecies, but the spirit and presence of God bears witness with the things that are true. And that's what God does best. So, and he establishes whether or not the word comes to pass. Yeah? So I know that Elisha and Shania were here in one of these meetings. And the little thing was praying for a baby, and his wife Shania was too, and oh yeah, I know he's not here. And a year later, on the same day that the prophecy came, they had their baby. Yeah. And Holly Glacier was here. Prayed and prayed for a little girl. She kept getting boys, yeah? Boy number one. Okay, I love boy number one. Another baby. Oh, yes, I'm going to have the cutest little girl on the planet. Boy number two. And then she went a long time. And she was vexed. The enemy was vexing her. And she came here and the Lord told me, you just tell her. You're going to have a little girl. And you guys happen just like that, yes? So it isn't that you can say that. You can't say to somebody, you're going to have a baby and you're going to have a girl. I couldn't do that. God can do that. But you guys, here's what he wants. He wants the church to operate on a no-so basis. You want God to be able to answer the stuff that he's talking about. Because when you need a word from God, you want to know it's from God. And so that's where we're at, is that honestly, I believe that God is talking to us. I believe he's saying you're the temple. I believe, not just this prophecy now, but I believe that our ears for the word of God, the word of God spoken audibly to us. Because you guys, that's a very difficult thing to receive because it's an audible voice. And what's the problem is it's in a person. Now, if I was as cute as Lily, it'd be easy. Yeah? But the thing is, what the Spirit of God says is, it creates turmoil in people to just listen and say, okay, I don't know about this prophecy stuff. And I believe God wanted to stop, even if there's just one person in this place that's turmoiled by that, or if there's two or three, five, if there's a few people in this place that are turmoiled by whether or not God's really talking, I believe God wanted to talk about it because I wasn't going to talk about it. But if God addresses the issue, then he's saying, here's the thing. I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to talk to you in prophecy. It's my choice, not your choice. My choice. Like it, don't like it, have trash in the past, doesn't matter. I'm still not among the rogues and the reavers. I'm still not a man that just prophesies. So this is what God is bringing to you and me. And when you pray for the purity of God's voice, when you pray for the Spirit and presence of God to bring that purity of voice, his Spirit will do that very thing. It's just what he does. And you guys, I know that the exercising of what God does in the church is imperative to us. Because if no temple was ever built by anybody in Israel without a prophet's word, then I got to tell you something. I believe that we're not going to build one in the last days without the word of God through a prophet of God. Because there's an authority in that and a power in that. And I want to accept it. I want to be able to accept the prophet. And you know how you do that, right? You just go and pray. God, I want you to have your way. I want you to have your way. So we read about the false prophet. He comes in and condemns the altars of Jeroboam. Jeroboam wants to seize him. Jeroboam's, you know, the story, his hand draws up. And then he asks the prophet, pray for me, for God to heal my hand. And God restores the hand. But he prophesies that God is going to destroy this false God at Bethel. Yeah? And you guys, part of what you and I are walking in is opposition to falsehood in religion. And it's going to cause you, and I wish it was just Islamic, but it is not. It's going to be people in the Christian community because it's that God prophesied would happen. So I want to go to Ezra chapter 5. And this is going so good. And actually, since we're just moseying from the front to the back, let's stop in Daniel and read chapter 9, verse 1. Yeah? Now listen. Yeah. Daniel prays for his people. Chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. Well, I understood by books. He's reading the book of Jeremiah, yeah? See, that's what you're doing. Come on, you guys, that's what you're doing. You're reading the Word of God and you realize, wow, I know what this is saying. I know how to make application of this very thing. In the first year of his reign, Daniel understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Daniel's praying. God, when will this thing end? When will this thing end? We've been carried away. The city's been decimated. Your temple's been destroyed. How long is this going to go on? You'd want to know that if you were carried away to another country. Yeah? And Daniel's there after Ezra and Nehemiah go back. Yes? Daniel's still in the kingdom there, and he's still serving these kings. That's how useful he was, and God was using him there. And you guys, wouldn't if you heard somebody came back and said, hey, look, a man by the name of Ezra went back to the city. They're rebuilding there. Wouldn't you say, okay, I'm ready to go back. I'm in Babylon. Here I am, God. You remember me? Remember when you shut the mouth of the lions? That's me. And so, let's go back. He doesn't say a thing about it. Daniel doesn't pray anywhere to go back. Because he knows he's there by appointment of God. Now, he doesn't know Belshazzar is going to drink wine out of the golden vessels of the temple. He doesn't know that he's going to stand in arrogance against God and defile God and defile all these vessels. He doesn't know he's going to have a party with his concubines. Daniel don't know that. But there was a day coming that all the concubines were going to drink wine out of the vessels that were holy vessels in the temple of God. Holy vessels in the temple of God. You and I are holy vessels in the temple of God. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, the enemy is going to wear out the saints of the Most High God. I don't like the word wear out. There's a whole lot of words God uses in the Bible, but wear out? It's going to... You know what that means? Do you know what that means? It means you're not going to like what's going on for a whole long time. And do you know what? God isn't going to care. Because you know what he's looking for? The people that didn't wear out. God's not interested in the attitude. Throw attitude at God. You know, God gobbles up attitude. And what happens is that you just find out that you move out of that place that he's blessed. That's all. And he's not going to use you for the work. Fight with him. And you can keep on doing work. I've had people leave here and get angry at me, and they go off and do work. Not impressed. I pray for them. I'm not talking angry about them. I'm telling you. But I know that until you get stuff straight, God ain't going to use you. God don't use you. Your flesh can use you. God won't use you. So he understood from the word of the Lord how it came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Israel. Now, can I tell you something about 2 Chronicles, the last chapter, while we're here, is that God promised that Israel is going to keep her Sabbaths. See, that's what the Christian church says we don't need to do. And you know, this is my harp. We should have harp. That was a violin. That's when I'm making you sad. I play the violin. No, this is the harp. I'm making you happy. I'm driving away all those dead things. Like, la, 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 la. I'm harping on this stuff. Because I want you to understand that what God said was that they owed him a Sabbath year every 7 years. 6 years, you just plant your crops and you live just happy. The seventh year, you live happier. Because who wouldn't want a year of vacation? Hey, yeah? See, tell me we don't know how to hire security guards. Beefy and yet handsome. I love you, brother. But you guys, what the Spirit and presence of God is wanting me and you to do is pay attention, because he said, listen, Israel didn't take that Sabbath. And here's the deal about the Sabbath, is that you couldn't plant any crops in that seventh year. Now, we got these trucks that run for Walmart bring you cantaloupes from Mexico. They bring you avocados from Honduras. They bring them from Nicaragua, Guatemala. So what happens is you go into the store and they're still giving you oranges and bananas and stuff like that. And you're wondering, where does that come from? Because some of it now is being produced in South America, south of the equator, where now they're in summer and we're in winter, yeah? So what happens is we have a food supply that just comes at us. It comes at us. But Israel didn't have that. You live from your crops. You gathered your crops. And if you had a bad crop year, people in your country began to die. Yeah? So this is not I rest, I'm going to take a year of vacation. It is, I'm not going to plant my crops. And so if we don't have rain next year, because we're not going to plant any crops this year, we're going to live off what we got from the crops last year. But next year, we are going to plant crops. And when we plant our crops, if it doesn't rain that year, we're going to be destitute instantly. We're going to be out. And then we're going to have famine. So rest is the carnal mind taking these things that make it afraid and holds on to the faith that God will see you through. If He gave it to me as a rest, He's not going to starve us that next year. And you fight that. That's what a rest is. It's fighting the thought process that tells you can't trust God on this thing because you don't know about the next year. You could have a plague of locusts. You could have somebody faster than a speeding bullet appear out of nowhere. But you guys, here's the thing. God tells Jeremiah, I'll tell you how long they're going to keep Sabbath. I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to keep Sabbath 70 years because they were a nation 490 years and they never, ever kept Sabbath. Never. So they said, we don't have to. Just like the Christian church is saying, you know, Sabbath day is kind of a thing. That's, you know, it's Old Testament. It's Old Covenant. We keep the other nine. Boy, do we keep the other nine? We do not keep that one because, you know what? Why would we need that? We rest plenty. Thank you very much. The people that laugh at that send you a message, yeah? But God tells Daniel because he's asking. And you know what? You ask God about the word, He will tell you. You can be reading in something way over in Jeremiah and God will tell you what it means. And He'll tell you what it means for you. Because these things that were written then are for our admonition. The Bible said they were. So you want to know what God's telling you about these things? You ask God. And we're coming to an hour that you and I are going to have to delve into the Word of God and stand on what He's telling us. He wants us to know about tomorrow. It's the kind of God that He is. He wants us to understand that He has something in store for us. And His voice will talk to you. So, this is what He said. That He would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Israel. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication. Supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. This is what a prophet does. He's not bragging about he's a prophet. Not bragging he's a prophet. This man has stood every single answer that these people needed. In fact, if they had dreams and they couldn't remember the dreams, God gave this man the dreams. And when they were going to kill all the wise men because nobody could remember his dream, this man could remember his dream. And when Belshazzar had the writing on the wall, and the Bible said his knees smote one against another. I love that description. His knees smote one against the other. They were hitting really hard. This man was afraid. You know why? Because he knew what he was doing. He went into this little gathering with his concubines in defiance of God. Bad idea. And his wife came in and told him, hey, you don't understand that writing, but there is a man in your kingdom that knows what God says. He's that kind of wisdom. You guys, that's what you want to be. Wouldn't you like that reputation, honestly? And you can have that reputation. A man who walks with God and talks with God, people are going to need answers in this generation. And already I am certain that you have supplied answers for people in this generation. I believe that. Already. But it's going to intensify because the cost is going to go up. Yeah? Now listen. So, you want to spend time in fasting and prayer and sackcloth. This is how relationships with God intensify. Intensifying your relationship. That's what God's doing in this whole thing. He's talking to you about Him caring about you, loving you. And what He's talking to you and me about, I'm feeling the joy of the Lord in this thing, is that He's honestly bringing us to this fullness. Yeah? So I was on my way to Ezra. All right, here's where we're at. Chapter 5. And I want to read. Because, you know, Ezra is taking place in the days, even though it's way back in the Bible, the other direction, it's still at the end of the history of physical Israel. And so this prophet's ministry is at the same time as Daniel. Yeah? Those 12 prophetic books in the middle of the Bible are like the lampstand, yeah? The 12 ornaments on the lampstand. You have 27 on the Old Testament side, 27 on the New Testament side, and 12 in the middle that tie together the prophecies of the old with the prophecies of the new. The fulfillment of the things that God is saying is brought to light in those 12 books. Yeah, so here we're in this place now where the history is ending, and Ezra says this in chapter 5. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Edo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judea and Jerusalem in the name of God, of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of him, and Jeshua, the son of him, and began to build the house of God. Yeah? And began to build the house of God. What starts this thing? Prophets. So you guys, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just honestly telling you. God wants His Spirit to be able to talk to you verbally. And we want these gifts to be in the body of Christ, but we also, not only gifts of prophecy, but we want to have God bring the word of a prophet to us. And here's the thing. Jesus is a prophet. And we're not going to build any temple without Him. And if He lives inside of you and He lives inside of me, is He capable of talking through you? Because He talks to you, am I right? So why, if He talks to me, would I not talk what He says to me if He tells me to say something to someone else? And here, let me give you another secret. The Bible said if you give a gift to a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. And this is the precious thing about God. He said, listen, I will do nothing except I first reveal it to my servants, the prophets. How would you like to know in advance what's going on because you give to Jesus? You don't have to go find a prophet. Listen, there are some places you will find prophets. And I'm sorry that's true. Because there's a whole lot of people that are being led by stuff that ain't God. But I can tell you that the Spirit and presence of God wants you to know the voice of God. And He wants you to be able to have that voice move through you. The Word of God does it. And I got to tell you something. It'll line up with God. The voice of God lines up with the voice of God. Yeah? As the written word of God. So, I'm over here in Ezra. All these prophets are prophesying. Now listen. And to build the house of God which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. At the same time came to them Tatnai, the governor of this side the river, and Shethar-Boznai, and that's just the way I pronounce his name. And there, if his mom wanted his name easily pronounced, she wouldn't have named him that. Shethar-Boznai, and their companions, and listen, they come and they said thus unto them, who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Yeah? Then said we unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius. And then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. Now listen, the copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, and Shethar-Boznai and his companions, those guys, which were on this side of the river, sent unto Darius the king. Now listen, they're going to try and stop the work, yes? They sent a letter unto him, whereof was written thus, unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid on in the walls, and this work goeth fast on and prospereth in their hands. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them, who commanded you to build this house and to make up these walls? We asked their names also to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that are the chief of them. And thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was built these many years ago, which a great king of Israel built it and set up. But after that, our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath. He gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house to God. Yeah? And the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem and brought them into the temple of Babylon, those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was that whom he had made governor, and said unto him, take these vessels, go, carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be built, yes, in his place. So they have this battle going on, and a king is fighting now, listen, or for them. Then came the same guy and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, hath it been in building, and yet it is not finished. Now, therefore, if it seemeth good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasury house, which is there in Babylon, whether so that that decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house. They won't stop it. But the prophets are there. Am I right? So that's what God is teaching us. Now, let's go here to 6, and let's read 6 and verse 3. In the first year, Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king, made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations there be strongly laid, the height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. See what happens when a prophet starts building the house? That's what happens. God blesses the king. And you guys, that's what you want. Because the kings of the earth are going to try and stop God's house from being built. Yes, they are. And what you and I want is to have the Spirit of God bring us into a place that His work goes on in us. Yeah?
Amen.
And we're not going to stop because governments tell us to stop.
Amen.
So, okay. You're thinking, wow, this is a great idea. Psalm 74. I believe that we owe explanations to anyone that questions what God's saying for their benefit. I'm not arguing with anybody. I have no argument with anybody. You can do what you want. All I'm saying is, if I give you the best information, you'll be able to at least relax that God does this kind of stuff. Yeah? So, Psalm 74, and I want to read verses 1 to 10. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? And why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the rod of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein you have dwelt. Lift up your feet under the perpetual desolations, yeah? Even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your congregations. They set up their incense for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axe upon the thick trees. So he said it used to be that a man was bragged about because he used his axe to bring down these huge trees. But now they break down the carved work whereof at once with axes and hammers. So they're tearing up the temple, yeah? They have cast fire into thy sanctuary, have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of your name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. Because there were synagogues all over the land, yeah? We see not our signs. There is no more prophet. Neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. See? You guys, that's why you want to pray. God, we need your voice. We need you to talk to us. Because we've been a long time without the Spirit and presence of God talking to us about what He's doing in the church. And I'm seeing now that God is bringing us explanation that He's honestly wanting us to be acquainted with that voice of God physically to become prepared to listen to what He has to say and to accept what He's saying to us. Yeah? Because it will benefit us because of what we need from Him. So, verse 10, O God, how long shall the adversary approach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand, pluck it out of thy bosom? For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. So we needed a prophet here. And that's what you and I want the Spirit and presence of God to do, yes? All right, we're almost done. You are glad this is happening. Now listen, I want to go to Hosea. Back to Daniel, the next book. And I want to go to Hosea chapter 12. And you know these verses. Thank you, Jesus. And so verse 9 says, "And I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast." So he establishes, I am that God from the land of Egypt, yes? "And I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." Now, you know, Hosea, these are those middle 12 books that God is speaking to us out. The Old Testament has come to a close. The time of it has come to a close. And what we're waiting for now is for this Spirit and presence of God. There's 400 years waiting for John the Baptist, yeah? So from Malachi to John the Baptist, 400 years. Silence, total silence. And you guys, it wasn't that there was silence in the temples and the synagogue, in the temple and the synagogues, because the priests were always talking. They weren't talking from God, but they were talking. And so what he says here is, "I have spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions, used similitudes by the ministries of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrificed bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the fields. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife. And for a wife he kept sheep." And of course, we're going all the way back to Jacob, yeah? "And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved." See? So we're in an hour that we want. If Egypt is a picture of religion, then what you and I want is to have that Spirit of God. We should be praying that God would raise up prophets to bring people out of Egypt's bondage. Yeah? Out of the religious house. And you guys, it isn't just because we're talking the truth. It's because the Spirit and presence of God bears witness of truth. And I believe that's the reason he sent me to have ministry with pastors, is because God was inviting them to come to a place that they would receive the truth, to let the Word of God become something in their life. And you guys, we saw people all over accept that. That's the Word of God being revealed is an imperative thing. And the presence of God on it makes it alive. And people began to hear the voice of God everywhere we went. And that's what you and I are in partnership with right here in this place. So we are growing into the place of maturity where His Spirit's bringing these things to pass. Okay. So I want to go to, we could just do this forever, yeah? Okay, let me read just in Luke. Let's go to Luke 13:33. And I want to actually start with verse 31. Now Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem. He's leaving, yeah? I can't think of a worse moment in their history than this, because he's come to say goodbye. And what's going to happen is they're going to be destroyed. You and I know what happened after that. They just decimated the land. And ultimately the Roman Empire didn't just pull the stones down on Mount Zion. They plowed Mount Zion. And it was prophesied in the Old Testament. So you guys, that's what happened to the people who rebelled against God and wouldn't serve Him in truth. That's just the difference. They served Him in anything they wanted, but they didn't serve Him in truth. You and I want to serve Him in truth, yeah? So, 31 says this, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto Jesus," of course, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod will kill you." I'm in Luke 13, and now I'm in 32, and He said unto them, "Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, And the third day I shall be perfected. Yeah? Now, this is what I know. That's 2 days, 2,000 years from him, because he's on the fourth day, right? There's 4,000 years from Adam to Christ, and the Bible says that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. I know I reiterate that and repeat it, but there are people that may not have heard it. But anyway, so we understand that what Jesus is saying is, for the next 2,000 years, I'm going to do cures and I'm going to cast out devils through us. Yeah? Because he lives inside of us. So he never quit doing it. And I didn't do any cures. I've never done a cure. I prayed for people who were sick and God healed them, but I never did the cure. But Christ in me did the cure. Yeah? And I've cast out devils. But I never cast out any devils. But Christ was in me. You get what he's saying there? For the next 2,000 years, I'm going to do the church age. I'm going to do what the church does. And so he prophesied. And then the third day, which would be the seventh day overall, I'll be perfected. Well, of course he'll be finished, because perfected means he's reached maturity and finished his work. He's achieved his goal. Right? So we're in 2000. This is the year 2000 from him. So if he promised that he would do cures and cast out devils for 2,000 years, we're very near the end of that 2,000 years that he was talking about. Yeah? So what you and I understand is that it won't be very long, within the next, I don't know, a few hundred years, he's going to bring these things to an absolute conclusion. But I also know that Israel became a nation. And so I'm not looking for the end time to be Armageddon, right? What I'm looking for is the church to come to fullness. Because when the church comes to fullness, what happens is that it brings mature sons of God. And then the church ceases to be needed. You don't need fivefold ministry anymore because the people of God are walking with God. That's what the fivefold ministry is for, is to bring you to the place that you walk and talk with God. Wow. So if you're glad that I'm going to go away, so am I. Because the great thing is, ultimately that's what I'm working for, is for the Spirit of the Lord to bring you to such a place that you have this ability to walk and talk with God. And you're letting His Spirit do what He would do inside of you. Yeah? So the fivefold ministry is done away with. Because he said the fivefold ministry was until. Right? Ephesians chapter 4, until. We all came to the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the full stature of the man Christ Jesus. How did that exactly start? It starts exactly till we all come to the knowledge. Does it start with knowledge? Yeah. So is anyone looking in their Bible about it? Yeah. Ephesians 4. Okay, yeah, it's worked out. Okay. It's that. Okay. But the thing is, till we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. So we're coming there. You're coming there. I'm coming there. And when we reach that place where we are in the full stature of the man Christ Jesus, why would you need parenting ministry anymore? So the Christian church doesn't get it. They think that when the Christian church ceases to be needed as an entity, where the ministry is parenting, and we come to the place that everybody has grown to the place they personally walk with God, they've been courted by Jesus Christ, that the bride is not going to get married as an immature person. She's going to be old enough to be courted by Jesus, and he's going to ask her, and she's going to know his voice, and she's going to know the truth, and she's going to tell him yes. Yeah? But she doesn't love any lies, she loves only the truth. So you guys, that's what the church is headed to. But the world thinks that this ending that he's talking about is going to be Armageddon and all that stuff. It's not that. We're coming to the same kind of ending that physical Israel came to, only we're going to succeed in being the church that he ordained so that the sons of God are upon the earth. Because the Bible said the whole creation is waiting for something. The whole creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. They're not waiting for Armageddon. I mean, everybody's talking about Armageddon. But that's not what we're coming to. We're coming to the church finishing what he made her to do. And you guys, that is a hallmark moment. That's having the bar finished. So he's going to bring us into a unity. And so we're going to know the truth. We're going to walk in the truth. And you're not going to need ministry to minister to you anymore. Yay! Because you guys, it's as excited as I am about my daughters growing up and getting married. I'm totally not excited about it. But I'll tell you what I know. When they come home with that perfect person. Keyword there. Perfect person. And I know that God's in this thing. And I know that their future has to do with happiness. Because you know what? Loving somebody is happiness. Yeah. And having them love you back, that's happiness. And what God is doing is bringing us to that place. So I want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that makes you the happiest person in the world. And you're writing country songs about it. And country gospel just keeps growing in intensity. And some of you that sing other things, they also will receive some notice from the people writing. But you guys, you get what God's doing is bringing us to that place that says, look, you understand maturity is what you're after because you're going to be courted by Christ personally. You're not going to be deceived. There is no deception in that. Nope. You know why? Because Paul said to one of the churches, you know what? I have espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I waited until he showed up and you knew him well enough to be courted by him. And I espoused you. I gave you to him to marry. That's what Paul did to that church way back then. And God's been doing it in every age. Men that knew what to do did it right. Men that knew what it was after. It wasn't me building this thing bigger. I've had lots of people talk to me about, man, you need a bigger sanctuary. We had people in the hallway, people in the overflow room in there. We had a television in there. We had chairs set up everywhere. Somebody told me, man, we've got to build a church. I said, oh, no, we don't have to build a church. Because God knows how to get these people going out and doing the things they need to do. And we came to a graduation, and this place emptied out. Yeah? And the people in the third and fourth grade survived through the graduation because they knew they're only third and fourth grade, and they came on in God, yes? Phew, that was a close one. So God knows how to do the same thing to me and you, but I believe we're coming to a graduation where people are going to graduate going the right direction. Knowing, wow, this is God getting this thing done. And your relationship with Him is going to be so tight. And I'm going to be so glad because I'm going to see how happy you are you got Him. And it isn't that you don't need me anymore, it's just you won't remember to call me, that's all. Because that's what courtship is like. Isn't that what marriage is like? I call you and go, what you doing? Oh, we're having a candlelight dinner, us and his parents. Excuse, please. I mean, excuse me. Tell me this ain't going to play hard. But you guys, the thing is, but isn't that what God wanted? Is because he wants us to bring the church to maturity and let it go. If you did your job right, they're going to do it right. Listen, every parent in this place knows, when you do the job right, it turns out right. It may not look like it for a while. But you just hold on. Am I right? It's like, man, it's going to be all right. Mother's crying, still crying after the wedding. It's like, Mom, it's been 4 years. Would you stop? Well, I'm worried because, listen, because you have all kinds of stuff. But here's the thing. That isn't how God brings us through to that place because He just keeps working just like this. As tenacious as this battle was, because they went back there to rebuild that under a king's orders. And then the people are all fighting them. It's like, you think this is going to be an easy wedding thing going on? It's not going to be an easy wedding thing going on. So, but you are going to the wedding. And so this is what He said here in Luke. Verse 33, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Listen to me. Everybody that doesn't think God is a prophet, everybody that doesn't think that Jesus Christ is a prophet, everybody that doesn't know that He dwells in me, dwells in you. How close is the prophet? How close is the prophet? It's as close as your ability to hear Him. And people don't like that. I do not care they don't like it. I don't care that they don't like it. Because what happens is you have to settle the issue that says, listen, the problem with Israel is he's in the flesh. That was the stumbling block. Because he looked like he didn't even look like an ordinary guy, the Bible said. He wasn't even a big, handsome, dashing, tall guy that would be the Messiah. The Bible said there was no beauty in him that we would desire him. How would you like to have a child that God said that about? There was no beauty. How would you like to have your dad describe you like that? And you're reading the book of Isaiah, and you know that's you. And you know what he did? didn't bother him at all. He understood, these people don't love me because they don't love my Father. They don't know Him and they don't know me. And they don't want a king. They don't want God. They want to have false idols because they're not real. And they can't own them. And they can't punish them. And they can't bring them around to truth. And I'm the one that's going to do all of that. Because I'm not just going to die for them. I'm going to come back and live in them. Man, you guys, there's nothing better than that plan, yeah? So here's what he says. Jerusalem, the prophet is not going to perish out of Jerusalem. And that's the new city. I don't care, old city, new city. New Jerusalem. You belong to New Jerusalem. Jesus belongs in the city. The prophet himself belongs in the city, yeah? So he said this. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets. See, nobody likes prophets. And stoned them that are sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather a brood under wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. If you don't, listen to me, if you don't have the voice of God in you, your house will be left desolate. That's why I'm so pleased that God's been talking in this place. Because you guys, it's just a reminder. It's not the permanent fix for you walking and talking with God. I don't intend it to be that. But if it reminds you that God talks to you, if it reminds you that He still knows who you are, then that's the thing He wants to do. And I don't want to prophesy to anybody that doesn't want to be prophesied to. I don't want to. But I don't want your house left desolate. I want the Spirit and presence of God to remind you God talks. And He is God. And He is the King. So I want Him to do the things He wants. So, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's what He told Israel. Yeah. You won't see me until you see me in the flesh of Christian men and women. Yeah. He that cometh in the name of the Lord. God's going to send a church that's purified with a true gospel to Israel. Yeah. Actually, they're probably going to come find you. They're probably going to come find you. Somebody's going to tell somebody in Israel, man, I heard this guy preaching. And I think you and I ought to go up there and see him. I think we ought to go just visit the Word. He knows our history. He knows our God. He knows our problems. He knows what we did. He's not angry with us. He doesn't want to kill us because we crucified Christ. He knows we were the priesthood that brought the sacrifice to God, just like Abraham did on the same mountain. And he understood that we did this thing because God wanted the blood shed for salvation. And now it's dawning on us why He was brought to us. And we rejected Him because we wouldn't have killed our own Messiah to give Him to the Gentiles. So God blinded them to what was really going on. I don't want to be blinded, and neither do you. I want the Lord to do those things, and that's it gets done. Yeah? I want that. I want the Spirit of God to do those things. So, I want that Spirit of His presence to get these things done. And that's how come I'm excited. I'm excited about God touching your life and to have you understand, I know He's talking to me. I know He's talking to me. And I know that He's brought us together, and He's brought us together to pray. I want to pray for you as well. I don't just have a word of prophecy for you. I have a word of prayer for you if God's showing me what to pray for. And so, you guys, He's doing those things in you and me. I want that in my life. You want it in your life, yes? So we want to let's stand together and pray. God, we thank You for Your Spirit and presence. And God, I am jealous for absolute truth. Absolute truth. And God, I wish that everybody was in that contented place to hear Your voice. I wish that was true. And God, I know that there are people that are taught that prophecy is not still for today. I know people are taught that You're not still doing this. And I regret that, God. And I know we're going to encounter people that don't believe it. I encountered it the first little church I pastored. And they gave me an ultimatum, stop talking about the gifts or leave. And I left. And God, I would do it again and again and again. Because God, I want You to do what You do in my life, in these lives that are in this place today. God, You've spoken to me over and over and over in prophecy. God, when I needed a word from You, You brought me a word. When I needed something from you, you brought me that something I needed. And God, you've used men and you've used women many times in my life to minister something to me that was from you, from your voice. And I knew it was your voice. And I thank you for what you did and all of that stuff. And God, I also had people that prophesied over me that were lying to me. And I knew right away it was a lie. Your Spirit made me see exactly what it was. And God, I know that it didn't stop me from knowing that you still have prophets. It didn't stop me from believing that you still would talk to me through people. God, that's one of the treasures that you've given to the body of Christ. And Lord, what I want is nothing in this place of the flesh. I bind the carnal mind. You said what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. God, I bind it on earth, this carnal mind. What I want is your Spirit to speak to your people. God, I want that clarity of thought that only your Spirit brings. And Jesus, we're in this place tonight, and you are the Spirit that is here. And I want you to speak to anybody in this place that you want to. God, I want you to talk. I want you to do that only your Spirit does. God, you're a loving Father. And Jesus, we will not push this on anybody that doesn't want it. But God, I just pray that your Spirit would bring your prophecy to the people, Jesus, that would be benefited by your word. And I believe it's all of us. God, I pray for every person in this place, God, that has been touched by your word before, touched by your word during these meetings. God, I'm blessed. God, I've seen the glory of your love ministering to your people. And God, I pray tonight, Jesus, that nobody would leave here without you verifying your love to them. God, I want that. God, I just want you to speak to every person in this place what it is you would like to say about them. God, what you want to tell them. God, if they've got ministry in their life, I want you to give them direction. God, if they're in turmoil about something, I want you to bring them deliverance. God, if the adversary's been grieving them, God, break that grief off. God, you're the God who brings us past all these things. I pray for all these children in this place. God, I believe that you're touching the children. God, I believe that their ability to take a hold of what you say has mattered to them. God, I believe these children. And God, I believe these adults that you've been ministering to. God, so far I've felt your Spirit and presence moving on almost every person that I've felt prophecy to. And God, I just praise you for that.